God, I thank you and I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable unto you. Lord, grant me your conviction and let it rest upon the hearts of your people and upon myself. I thank you, O God. I love you. And we worship you in this time, in this space, through Christ and through the aid of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Listen, this morning, I want to take my time. I want to preach a little bit of a different message. I want to talk to you from my heart, especially to our youth and our young adults. So this is something that I want you to know. I don't have all the answers, and I don't know everything that you're going through, but I do believe that the Word of God is living and that it is present. And so we can hide what Paul writes to the church in the Corinthian church, and we can take it with us now. So my subject title, again, is No Place to Hide. But as we go into this, I have a few stories I want to give you as a backdrop, and then I'll get out of your way. 10 years ago today, I'm sorry, I lied. 10 years ago in February, I lost a dear classmate, actually two classmates, in a tragic car accident. There was a game on Tuesday, and I worked for athletics at the time. And you know it's serious, the work that I did, because I asked my grandmother on Wednesday to allow me to stay home from school because I was so tired, and she obliged. She let me stay home. On Thursday morning when I got to school, at that time I was very outgoing. I would go to all of my classmates and talk to them and just kind of speak to them a little bit about everything that was going on and tease them a little bit. So this Thursday morning when I get to the school and I was saying hello, one of my classmates passed by me and didn't speak. So I chased her into the classroom right before the tardy bell rang. And I said, "Why didn't you speak to me?" And she busts out into tears. And she says to me, "It's Haley." I didn't know what she meant. Haley was a very outgoing person, very outspoken. So I was like, "What do you mean? What did she say to you?" And she was like, "She died." Haley and Ross, her older brother, Haley's 15, Ross 16, were headed to an agricultural competition. They were going to show their livestock in San Antonio. As they were headed from Angleton to San Antonio, their parents already in San Antonio, they were struck by an 18-wheeler that had crossed the median, hitting them head on, bursting the car into flames instantly. Our whole lives changed that day. I had dealt with death before. I knew what that felt like, but it was something different to experience it with someone so close. I mean, I'd lost two uncles, my great-grandmother by that point, and I'd been to plenty of funerals at the church. It didn't bother me, but this one was different. It hit different when you lose a friend, someone your own age. I was class president at the time, and I was asked to speak at their funeral. This passage was the one I read from. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. I know what death feels like, and some of our youth and our young adults have experienced death in these past few months. And I want you to know that Paul is writing to you. And then to move forward, senior year comes about. You know, that was freshman year, senior year. I don't really remember all the stuff in between. But I remember what it felt like to be active and engaged I remembered what it felt like to feel and go through the changes of maturity, really. It's basically, you know, your body changing and everything happening. I remember what that felt like. I remembered what rejection felt like the first time it happened to me. I told you that I was very outgoing in school, but it didn't really make a difference. People still talked about me, and it still hurt. I was very self-conscious as a kid because of that. You know, you have a crush that you really like, and you chase after this person that you really want, you're attracted to, and you don't get them. And I remembered what that was like. And then I started to think about Roman and Deja, who went through their senior year but wasn't able to finish. The same way that I went through my changes of my insecurities and my personal discrimination against my own self about how I looked and how I dressed, I can only imagine that there was some awful change for you guys as well, not to be able to go to prom and not to be able to have a proper graduation at the proper time. But in my senior year, I found solace in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11. And then I get to college. Now, I'm going to skip all that and tell you about the night or the week before I graduated. I was headed down 59 with friends coming back from a graduation dinner. And as I'm on 59, exiting onto Fondren Road, all of a sudden, I'm told to get back into my lane and not exit. I get back into my lane. We saw a construction car on the side of the road. And to avoid hitting or getting close to the truck, I was going to pass Fondren and go to Belneath or Bel Air. And so as I'm getting off or getting back into my lane, trying to get to Bel Air, whatever, something popped up into the middle of the road. Now, I want you to think about my psyche at the time. 3 years before, I was behind a truck that had dropped a cinder block from out of the tailgate, ripped off my tire and my muffler. So I knew that, you know, anything in the road could damage my car. So I jerked the wheel, and before I knew it, I hit something, not knowing what at the time, but just a split second later realizing that it was a human being. I had run over a dead body. My friend behind me sitting in the back seat pulled me back to my seat. I'm screaming, I'm yelling, and he says to me, "Torrance, he was already dead. He was already dead." Can you imagine what that felt like? Even now, I cannot drive at night without seeing something on the side of the road and flinching. It turned out to be a homeless man passing on the highway. Car had hit him and kept going. I know 2 Corinthians. I know what it feels to be hard-pressed. I know what it feels like to be surrounded on every side. Everything seems to be going wrong. I know what almost not graduating feels like. This morning, I want our youth and young adults to know you are not alone. I have found a great solace in reading Paul. Let me give you a little bit of my thinking when I think about Paul. When I think of him being the outcast. He wasn't the first, but he was still selected. He wasn't the smartest, but he wrote beautifully, and he encourages us even today. He may not have known Christ before in his previous life, but he found Christ when he needed it. And then we get into today's text. Let me just give you a slight background of what's happening. Paul writes to the church in 1 Corinthians. There's discord. He settled this home church in Corinthians. They're scattered about. And as he's trying to encourage them, trying to get them back into shape, trying to give them the message of Christ, they begin to reject the letter that he had wrote to them. And so he writes the book of 2 Corinthians, where we find our passage today. And in that passage, or in the chapters previous to what we read in our text, Paul is now back into relationship with these people. They've come around and they've started to accept the message of him who's, you know, trying to encourage them. They're no good. They've rebelled against them. They've talked about him because he didn't have money. He wasn't a good speaker. We find that in chapter 2 and 3. But yet Paul still encourages them. And he encourages from a place that wasn't on his paper. He encourages them with something on the inside. What do I mean by it wasn't on his paper? Well, in chapter 3 and in chapter 2, these people are so worried about Paul and his writings, and they want him to have this resume. And Paul says, "You are my resume. I planted the church in Corinth. So whenever I'm speaking to you, I already have authority, but it's not because of who I am. No. It's because I know that I know that I know that God has called me to give you an encouraging message. Let me be your Paul this morning and reiterate what Paul says. Listen to what he says in verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed." I'm going to pause there. You may be wondering, how does my sermon title fit into what's going on in the text? How does not hiding fit into today's text? We have nowhere to hide. I think Paul is saying something to us that we see, but we may not get. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Now, you've missed it already, because in the text, what Paul is doing is he's acknowledging the hard pressed. All we want to acknowledge is the not crushed. We don't get that Paul is boasting about being hard pressed. He takes it for, you know, well, how life treats you. He's saying this is what happens in life. You are attacked on every side. Don't jump to the not crushed part just yet. Think about what Paul is saying. He's saying to us, listen, I'm hard pressed. It is what it is. Can't do anything about it. But I'm not defeated. Now, this morning, maybe you're hard pressed as a youth, as a young adult. Maybe you're hard pressed in general about things that are going on in your life as a member. If you are listening to me by the sound of my voice, whether it be on CD, whether it's watching online or watching the service later on, this message is still relevant. Hard pressed. I started to think about some things that were hard pressing. I told you about the loss of my classmate. So there we have it. We know death, right? You've lost people. You've gone through stuff. You know what it feels like to go through stages of life where you are cast out and people don't like who you are. They don't like you because you don't fit in. Maybe you're dealing with some kind of insecurity. Maybe it's your sexuality. Maybe it's your transgressions. It's stuff that you've done. Maybe it's the house that you live in or the clothes that you wear. And it seems like every time you turn around, you're dealing with something new. Hard pressed. You're hard pressed. You are perplexed. Maybe some things are happening and you don't understand why. You can't talk to your parents. You don't know who you can reach out to. The same friends that you reached out to, the people that you've texted, the people you've called, didn't return your phone calls. And then after all of that, when they see that you're in a bad spot, in a bad position, they still don't help you. You're surrounded by people that you cannot trust. And so you put up these walls. If it's sexuality that you're dealing with, you know, you hide behind little things like not telling people who you are, but, you know, putting it out on Instagram and social media. You know how you identify sexually, but maybe you don't know how to tell people. So you put up walls. Maybe you hide behind pornography because you cannot get what you want in a real person. So you watch stuff that you shouldn't watch. You put up walls. You hide behind things. But all of that comes to an end. Because no matter what you wear, at the end of the day, you have to go home and look at yourself in the mirror. Clothes don't hide you. Robes that we wear on Sunday don't hide us. The cars that you drive will become obsolete. They will break down. And the same people that you talked about with the little cars that they have are going to be the same people you need a ride from. The cars don't hide your insecurities. The house that you live in, you can brag about it until it starts having leaks or until you get evicted. Houses do not matter. Maybe you're going through something in a relationship. Let me put my Bible down just for a second. Maybe you are trying to identify with somebody that you think loves you, but when that person quit loving on you, when they walk out the door, you're left with nothing to hide behind. You're hard pressed. You're perplexed. You're cast down. There's no place to hide. People even try to hide in their marriages. I don't know if you have social media or not, but if you do, there is no way in the world that you have not seen the story about Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith. Now, if you haven't heard about the story, let me just give you the little scoop, just in one little short sentence. So, if you haven't heard, Jada Pinkett Smith, famous actor, Will Smith, famous actor, have been married. They are the ideal couple in Hollywood, right? They've been married for over 20-something years, and they have two successful children, even though they're dealing with their own little demons and stuff like that. They have two successful children. Well, even though they may be married, Jada decided to step out of her marriage and have an affair with a younger man, almost 20 years younger than her. And she gets on to, Facebook on her Red Table Talk with her husband, and they talk about how Jada had decided, because she was separated from Will Smith, to go and have this relationship with somebody who needed help. And so, you know, she started catching feelings for this person that needed help. You know, all these little things, all that to say, they tried to hide behind a person in love, and yet they still stepped outside of their marriage. Listen, there are some people looking at me right now. You are trying to judge. You're like, what does this have to do with anything? You've been trying to hide behind your marriage. Your parents have been trying to hide behind your marriage, and children can see it. They can see stuff going on. They know when there's hell in the house. They know when everything is not going well and you try to act like everything is going good. I think that's why their children are all kinds of messed up. And I think that's why some of us are messed up, because we've seen some of the stuff that our parents have been doing. We've seen people hide behind other people in life when people cannot fulfill you. There is nothing to hide behind now. And we know this is the case because we're stuck in the house with one another during this COVID situation. And COVID hasn't taught us anything. It's taught us that you cannot run away from your own insecurities. I say that this morning to say this. I've tried it. I've tried to put on a suit and tie every Sunday morning and get up in this same pulpit, standing over a congregation, and I hid, at least I thought I was hiding, from my own self-esteem issues. I thought that I could run away from things that have happened in my family's past, things that have traveled through generations, drinking and drugs. I've judged my own brother as if I was better than him because I'm not in jail and he is. No, no, no. You can't hide from your own insecurities. And so I felt myself lashing out at people. Because when you hide and you have nothing to hide behind, you blame it on other people. You start to blame it on stuff. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. They didn't treat me like this. They always talked about me here. And it wasn't until sitting down with my family just a few weeks ago that I said, why have we never talked about this? Why have we never brought this to light? Why are we dealing with this same issue over and over? Why is it that, you know, the head of the family seems to be doing well, but the people that are in between, those kids and those grandkids, are in this repetitive cycle of failing? It's because we're hiding behind stuff that does not matter. And maybe, just maybe, somebody listening to me this morning is hiding behind something as well. It may not be a car. It may not be clothes. It may not be a relationship. You know, we here at Ebenezer value education. So let me tap into those of you with PhDs and EDDs and all of these other degrees, because at the end of the day, that's a wall that you can't hide behind either. We have learned and we've tried to hide behind these things. But when you don't know how to talk to somebody, a PhD won't help you. When you're no longer writing or sitting in your classroom or hiding behind your career, it won't help you. And I want you to know, as a youth, as a young adult, do not follow in the footsteps that people have set, trying to tell you that you can hide behind stuff that is materialistic. It does not matter. I'm not done yet. Listen, I don't know your story. I don't know your pain. I can't feel what you're feeling. I don't know where you are in life. But Paul does. Even over 1,000 years plus, Paul knows. I know that he knows. Because every time I found myself in a situation where I was hiding behind something, maybe it's the shoes I was trying to hide behind because people talked about my, you know, I had at the time these Reebok shoes, but they were off the wall Reebok shoes. We shopped at Payless when I was a kid. You didn't go to no Neiman Marcus. You didn't have designer clothes and all that. You went to the Goodwill, and you better make sure that you make it last, because you wasn't going to get anything for another few months to the next year. No, I couldn't hide behind my shoes. At the time, you know, I didn't have money to get my hair cut every week. I still don't. I cut my own hair. Except for yesterday, you know, let this woman cut on my hair. They don't look the same to me. But anyway, can't hide behind my looks, my hair. Dr. Freeman's moaning, but he ain't got no hair. He was looking up videos all night about putting hair on the top of his head. All of these little things that we try to hide behind. I love you, Dr. Freeman. All these things that we think will keep us going will fall. We can't even hide behind rap and things that bring us joy, music, especially if you're black in this country. There's no place to hide. You can't hide behind culture, behind your people, because If the police aren't killing us, then we're killing ourselves. We can't hide behind our parents. Ricky Smiley, whose daughter was shot, and he's a rich man, could not protect his daughter. You can't hide behind that and shot by a black person. We can't hide behind race and Black Lives Matter. We can't hide behind a president, no matter who you vote for. You can't hide behind a government, no matter who you support. But there is something that you can do. You see, we are hard-pressed. You know, we are perplexed. We're in despair. We have to realize that. We have to acknowledge it for what it is. Forget about the opposite that Paul was writing about. You know, cast down but not destroyed. We like that. No, deal with your insecurities. You are hard-pressed. You are perplexed. You have things that you are going through. Deal with that. Talk about your parents. Parents, talk to your kids about it. But there is something you can do. Paul does something unique. He says, instead of hiding behind something, you can hide something within you. Listen, he words it wonderfully. But all he is trying to say in verses 10 and 11 is this simple thing. You can hide behind the message of the cross. And I want you to know this morning, as he's writing to the church in Corinth, he says, if you don't think of anything else, if you can't find anything good to say about me, fine. Because the only thing I'm concerned with that you know, when you're going through all of this, when you're dealing with all the mess that you have to deal with, when you're trying to hide behind these false idols, is that the message of Christ will keep you sane. It will keep your mind in the right place. You can hide behind the message of the cross. What is the message of the cross? Well, a songwriter says it like this: At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. The message of the cross is good news, it's love, it's hope, it's truth. Listen, you can live your life, you can do what you need to do. I don't know what you're dealing with, and I'm not approving of everybody's lifestyle. That's not what I'm saying about this message. I'm saying quit hiding behind it. And only when you quit hiding can you put something within you. I hope that makes sense. Let me try it one more time. If you are trying to hide behind something, you have up all these false walls, how can you ever let anything in? You have to have the message of Christ within you, Paul says. And if you have a wall up, then you can't have that message. You can't place it within inside of you. So this morning, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to surrender your life to Christ. I want to encourage you to make sure that when you step outside of the walls of your home, when you go back to your own bedrooms, whether you're in your bedroom right now, listen, the only thing that will work for you is the message of Christ. Would you join with us now as we sing our invitation to discipleship song, I Surrender All.
To Jesus, I surrender all to Him. In His daily prayer.
life to Christ. Listen this morning, maybe it's not you who's hiding behind something. Maybe you're hiding yourself from other people. Let's remember the moment in which we're in. Remember that there's somebody else that needs your help. Call and make sure people are doing okay. Ebenezer, we've done wonderfully with that. But somebody listening to me needs to hear that this morning. Somebody needs to hear from you. A text message, a tweet, a Facebook message, a Snapchat. Make sure people are doing okay. Don't hide yourself from other people. And then don't try to hide yourself. Whatever you do, hide the word of Christ in your heart. I want to thank you. I ask God's blessings upon you. And I now extend to you our benediction as we sing together till we meet again.